What's
Hello,
up, party
friends.
people?
Hello, friends. Party people. Welcome to planet Earth. Welcome to another episode of the Mindful CEO. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Chris.
Let's cottywomple our way to another podcast episode.
Yes, indeed. Well,
It's
we were talking earlier, obviously. Always the my favorite setup. We were talking pre and we're talking about how we're going to roll out Lose Your Goddamn Mind as a program for people. And there were a couple of things about it that I thought were notable and thought would be worth hashing out. The first is the name, Lose Your Goddamn Mind. Every now and then, I think you hit something, I hit something, people hit things that resonate, right? They're out there, they resonate. And, I think just in reflecting on why that name resonates with people, I mean, other than, goddamn, which isn't nothing, I mean, it does stand out in the world of marketing and pierces, it stops the scroll, as it were, right? It just does. But there's something potentially appealing about losing your mind. Okay. I think it's obviously the sort of traditional context for losing your mind would be negative, right? I
Right,
mean,
funny farm, you know.
funny farm, right? Yeah, look at
Right.
that funny farm. That definitely gives away our age, right? They're coming to take you away. Oh my God, that was a song. Yeah, so that's, obviously the more traditional interpretation, but it also I came up with it. I came up with it because someone was mentioning a Seahawks coach that they potentially could get, and I said I would lose my goddamn mind if they signed that guy in a positive way. I'd be like, I would be so excited, right? It means
Oh, nice.
I'd be so excited. But in the context of mindfulness, I think people automatically, or not automatically, but the right people hear it, connected, right? There's a connection there that is, it's already in the vernacular, already in the listening. That if you're speaking about mindfulness, if you're in that context, if you're in that world around mindfulness, and someone talks about losing your goddamn mind, it brings forth a particular benefit, like a particular benefit that we wanted to articulate. Any thoughts about that before?
I think I had mentioned several months ago I was listening to the Surrender Experiment with Michael Singer.
Yes.
You know that book? Did you read that?
I do. I couldn't get past chapter three. I just,
It was easier to listen, I think, than it was to read
I
the
that's all I did was listen. And I
Oh,
was like,
okay.
I don't, I was like, God, do I have to like get this guy who meditated for way more than I'm ever going to meditate?
Great.
What? It was just like, sounded like a challenge to me. Like he was challenging me to have to
Yeah.
meditate that often. I was like,
If you
could you
can't
get
beat
to the
it,
what
you're a
you got?
loser.
I don't
You're a
know.
loser
Just,
if you can't meditate. No, that well, I think what struck me as you were describing that was just I think he was looking to yoga as a place to shut down the constant chatter from his
yeah.
mind. That there was a yoga offered him a path to losing his mind, as we're talking about it
Yes.
here. It was like, shut up, just stop talking to me
Yes.
every damn direction so I can be in this moment. And that's what I hear when you say, like, lose your goddamn mind.
Right. And I think that's I think that's clearly the intention that we're going for. So getting out of your own way. We talked about that. Like, I think when you say getting out of your way or getting out of your own way, getting out of your own way. Yeah. I think that's a saying or a something that people that are do personal development, that people who are interested in self-growth have as an idea already. I don't think we're inventing that. Getting out of your own way is something that's a desirable outcome, getting out of your own way.
I just saw something for myself, like that the I think what can happen in the personal development circles who think, I'm gonna get out of my own way means I'm going to stop making excuses and just double down on my effort and I'm gonna try harder, versus a mindful approach to getting out of your way, would be something like Wu Wei or non-striving, or, you know, there's the surrendering to.
Have we talked Wu Wei? Because you just dropped Wu Wei into a sentence. And
did
I'm
we
like,
not? Have we?
I've never heard it before. I get it contextually what it means, but and maybe we have, and I'm just old. But.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I mean, when I hear non-striving as a tenet of mindfulness, I mean, that is, Wu Wei is non-doing, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, anyway, I mean, just I think a more mindful approach to getting out of your own way is simply to get out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
And be present to what's here rather than doubling down on hustle and grind and just,
I guess that is a context for it that I hadn't heard that people could have that context for it. I'm not in that container. So I don't
the context of doubling down their effort to
get getting out of your own way. You know, I hear it like, giving up self-doubt, imposter syndrome, questioning yourself,
right?
Resist that kind of resistance. I hear getting out of your own way in terms of Mel Robbins's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yep.
You know, I hear it in terms of, you know, Abraham tapping in, mm-hmm. turning on,
tapped in, turned on. I think tuned in, turned on.
Okay, fine.
That feels correct.
Okay, I hardly think Abraham is going to be like, no, marketing-wise, it needs
you
to
got
be
that other. Backwards.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, like that, like that's the benefit of getting out of losing your goddamn mind would be you'd be tapped in, tuned in, and turned on about life because you'd be out of your way, all those self-doubts. Yep. And, you know, the thing of the Mel Robbins. Mm-hmm. has been on my mind a lot. You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You know, you're familiar with that. If you're one of the five people listening and you're not familiar with Mel Robbins, first of all, I can't believe you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Mel Robbins. There's like no chance that that's the case.
No chance.
Which means you're familiar with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. At any rate, look it up. If you're not,
right now you have to, because
there's a search engine thing called the Google machine and it's really good, people.
How do you use it?
You better Google that. All right. But so there's you're free to act, free to be and free to act and free to perform in ways because you're no longer trapped in the constraints that your mind says are real.
Right.
So all that's, you know, a benefit of mindfulness in that way. And
let's play with that just a little bit more, because I feel like I also can see in the personal development culture, I can see this in my own life where I maybe used to think I need to get out of my own way. And then I read Atomic Habits and I'm like, oh, so what I need to do is add like 50 more habits and then I'll get out of my own way. And that's just more of my mind. Going to work on the intellectual solving and striving and proving. And it's like, just shut up, shut down the mind, lose your goddamn mind for a minute and just get present to what is such a different approach than all the books I read trying to intellectually solve the problems.
Right. Which is not to say that James Clear is not a genius and
those
things work, but you want to be able to bring them in.
That's right.
From nothing versus as the solving of a problem. Right.
It's
one thing to get to nothing, you know, starting from nothing, you know, I've been doing a lot of this work inside the leadership I provide at Landmark, but the conversations for, very resonant with losing your goddamn mind. Like, just because, you know, it used to be a bumper sticker, or there probably still is, but don't believe everything you think, you know, like,
right.
just because it's a thought, right? First of all, there's a huge difference between thoughting and thinking. And that's, you know, that's system one, system two, right out of Kahneman, right. You know, system one is thoughting all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just generating thoughts at a mile a minute. That you have as much control over as your fingernails growing. You literally have no, you know, it's not even you. There's no you involved in your fingernail growing, right? I don't put any, and I'm not sitting here growing my fingernails, although my fingernails are sitting here growing.
Yeah. Right. That's great.
The same thing of, well, I was just thinking, no, you were just having thoughts. That's not thinking.
Right. I love that.
Right. And to get that flat and get that clear is a big deal. And I don't think you can get to the opportunity to think.
Yeah.
Without quieting the thoughts.
It's good.
Yeah, have you noticed that? Shit down. Someone write that down. That's good.
As you've been doing your the guided meditations and leaning into your own mindfulness practices, have you noticed that? Have you noticed the, like, what have you noticed as you've been doing that as it relates to the thinking and the thoughts and the whatever?
Well, first, I have, it's so dicey for me. I'm so arrogant and so the center of the universe that it feels like any speaking about it puts me back in the center of it, the universe. And I am so predisposed to think I have something handled, to think any momentary insight is meant to have something handled for ever, really, ideally forever. It'd be useful if it was forever, but even to have it handled at all versus it's a life's a river and I may catch myself every now and then in the middle of it, but I don't really, you know, control the river. So
does the
I'm wary of speaking about it from that perspective, because whatever I've discovered about it has virtually nothing to do with what my sharing about what I've discovered, I think, has nothing to do with what someone else will discover from doing it. I don't know. I mean, I could be totally wrong. And
well, you said this before we hit record, because we like to do that. Back in the green room, you know, that there is a...
I wish you had a green room.
Well, we were talking about our launching our...
Are there snacks
CEO in the
green
think tank, mastermind, whatever we want to call it, right? But the that there's the thing about the mirror neurons and seeing someone else go through things that I otherwise... If you share what you are getting...
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
You share your having gotten something.
Right.
And the mirror, my ability to perceive and pick up what is being reflected to me for me, not what you're even saying necessarily, or not even your intention.
Yeah.
But simply you sharing allows me to pick something up, you know?
Good. Okay. Well, one of the things that, so I don't have any of this thought out, but
prefer it that way.
There's when I'm able to just be mindful for any length of time, 10 minutes. And I love the idea of microdosing mindfulness.
Yeah, that's really
another,
that's cool.
You know, slogan for Don Draper to get us into, you know, Life magazine. Because microdosing is so popular with the kids these days.
The kids these days. It's fire, as
it's
they say.
It's fire. Oh my God, they don't say any of that shit. We are so fucking old. So old. But, you know, just as I practice mindfulness and as I develop the capacity to be mindful and bring that into my day, I the ability to double back and clean up and either repair or correct something I have done or said that was done on automatic has become easier for me and quicker. I'm not at a point in a practice, in any practice, where I have stopped myself from being an asshole. that I'm too, you know, like I've had an answer
Sure.
and said it and then been, but I've been able to see it go out and be like, okay, that I said to my wife or that I said to Christine or that client, that really was not from nothing. That wasn't from a created concern. That was from whatever I, what was reacting to in that moment. And I don't need to attach myself to that, that I was attached to at that time. I can detach myself from what I was attached to at that time. And, you know, the people that I have around me are all really forgiving and great. And we get to move on. Or, you know, like I lost a listing, you know, I didn't get the listing out of a listing appointment, you know, and that's not someone I get to repair that with. But, you know, but that's one thing is that I can review my day. I can review my actions in a light of mindfulness and look to see, are those, were those actions consistent with someone who was operating in the present moment? Or were they, what were, if not, what were they consistent with? And can I begin to identify those? And I've, it's sort of dislodged the way I identify myself, my identity, you know, the, we talk about confirmation bias.
Sure,
as
sure.
A as gets more difficult the more you identify with the thought, right?
Sure.
It becomes more difficult to dislodge someone from a political leaning when they have decided that's who they are than from I believe this fact to be true. If it's just a, if it's a disparate fact, like fine, whatever, vaccines, I don't give a shit, right? If who you are is an anti-vaxxer, or who you are, and that's your community, and that's, or you are pro-vaxxer, I don't, knock yourself out. And you identify with that as a community issue, it's almost impossible to get you off the mark because you're not dealing with the facts of anything anymore. You're now you are that thought. And that's gotten looser for me. And
that's to the point of I think where I was going with that question about how it's been for you in those guided meditations, because I feel like the lose your goddamn mind in some ways is in some ways, depending on where you're at in that continuum, the ability to loosen and separate from the identity of things and the biases of things, to because, you know, there just is a way it already is. There is an unconscious like program running in the background, and to have a think tank or a group where you can begin to chew on and expose what some of those things might be allows us to get out of our goddamn mind.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that lose your goddamn mind really does meet it on a lot of, I don't know, in a particular context. It means that. It means lose your attachment to what you think, including who you think you are. And I think that's super attractive to people. Like, wow, if I'm no longer stuck being who I've known myself to be, who could I be?
And that's getting out of your own way.
And that is getting out of your own way.
Hell yeah.
You know, the other thing I wanted to sort of cottywomple is I've been beginning to lay out the course in my head, you know, like what would we start with? And I'm pretty settled that I want to start with, you know, the different aspects of mindfulness and what do we want to, you know, where do we want to go with it? And I want to start with self-compassion as the first tenet, as the first thought, as the first, you know, opportunity there. Because I think, you know, the more I think about it, that's, I think if everything could, I think if I had a foundation of self-compassion, you know, forgiving myself. Hmm. No right way to do things. Oh, I think it's a, wait, I just want to take that back. There is a right way to do some things. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like the idea there's no right way to do it. There's the way some things are meant to be done. Some things have a way they're meant to be done. Like, you can't, sure. You know, Boeing is a really good example of, there's a fucking right way to put an airplane together.
Yeah, right.
And then there's the way you've been doing it. That's not, there's not a right way. There is a right way.
Yeah.
So I want to take that back. But that in the living of one's life, in the container or the context of living one's life, there is no way you're supposed to be. And you can forgive yourself for any of the transgressions of the shoulds that may have been laid on you or adopted by you or rained on you by the, you know, by the dominant paradigm. And starting with that, so that everything else that happens, because it comes up when I'm teaching mindfulness or I'm introducing mindfulness to people. Generally, the most reliable first problem people have or obstacle they face is their mind wanders. And their relationship to it is it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And if it was working, I wouldn't, or I'm not doing this right.
Yeah, totally.
Right. And it takes that, even that thought, it's not, I'm not doing it right, is right, is, it's all doing it right. You can't be mindful in the wrong way. There's no right way to do mindfulness. There is no.
All right, right.
All it is paying attention to what your experience is in the moment. And if your experience in the moment is this isn't working, then that's your experience. And therefore it's working because you're in the presence of being frustrated. So now you're in the presence of being frustrated. And that's now mindful because you are noticing there's a you noticing the frustration. Yeah. You've separated yourself in the moment, even just for a second. And then your mind wanders to, you know, the jelly beans that you saw in your car. And then where are my keys? And, you know, who's watching the kid? And, you know, God, I got to pee. And all that's all those thoughts. But you, the benefit of Lose Your Goddamn Mind is very much like, you're no longer run by those. All those distracting thoughts, they're not going anywhere. I don't know anyone who's going to promise that those thoughts don't go anywhere. But you have access to separating yourself from those thoughts, that you can build a muscle that allows you to have thoughts rather than thoughts have you.
Yeah, I love that. If I can connect that to sort of the conversations you and I've been having around, you know, what is the benefit of the Mindful CEO think tank or mastermind? Like, what, why do people join the community? What do I get when I'm in the community? And I think this part of this conversation that we are hosting in the community is, and the benefit of seeing the thoughts and chewing on, and separating yourself from the thoughts is that so much of our, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but, and I'll let anyone who identifies with this also to accept it. But I, so much of the way I showed up in the heart-centered work I was trying to bring the world was given by the what's right, what's wrong. This is how I should do it. You know, Tony Robbins said to do it this way and Mel Robbins said to do it that way. And there's all the comparisons that I, so the effort, the amount of effort I was putting into something, the amount of frustration and I experienced was just like, this is why I think Michael Singer was like, just want that voice to shut up. Like, I couldn't be with what was actually there for me to do because I just kept comparing what I was doing with all the chatter of what I should be doing. To have a forum where we can actually talk about things so that in the seeing of the thing, I can now identify it and separate it. That is not me. Lamborghini leaning, hustle grind, you know, like I can separate myself from the thoughts that seem to have been giving me my being. I am not my thoughts. I am not my thoughts. And if you don't have a forum to expose that or inquire about it, then it sort of in some ways keeps it in play. It's still running the show in the background sometimes.
Well, I think it's running the show in the background all the time. And I mean, but it just is. I don't, you know, it there's the teeny moments of our ability to pop out of system one thinking.
Sure.
Proves the rule that you're, that's the design. The design is you are designed to not think. We are designed to thought and not think and react and not, you know, not create our response.
We're but just, there is a possibility. Then,
totally.
Otherwise, I mean, mindfulness is a nihilistic approach.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but I don't think you get there by ignoring that the design is to not. I think you get there by honoring the design.
Yeah.
Which is that you're designed to have thoughts. You know, the I don't know, somewhere in one of the essays I just wrote, you know, the metaphor of training yourself like potty training. Mm-hmm. You know, you're designed, you by design, and if you've had kids, you know, and you were a kid, so you know, that you were designed to pee and poop. Mm-hmm. Whenever the urge came up, you were just... it didn't matter, you know, just change my diaper, I don't give a shit, here's a new one, you know, like nothing matters.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get potty trained, and I don't care how cold it is or how tired you are, or within reason how drunk you are, you're not going to wet the bed today.
Yeah, right,
you know, you're just not going to wet a bed. And you would have, but you trained yourself to not do that. The design is to do it. You had to train yourself to do something other than the way you were designed. There is a capacity you have to hold it.
Yeah.
Right. But you had to train yourself in it.
Right.
And now it's like second nature. Mindfulness, I think, is like that, except it doesn't become, I don't know that it's like riding a bike where you just learn it once and then you're done. I think it's the kind of thing where you really do need to keep, is a higher, but the metaphor of training yourself to do something other than design works. And I do think you can train yourself to do something other than the design. You can train yourself to be mindful. And that's the advantage of the think tank, I think, is that, you know, you have an occasion, a scheduled opportunity every week to work on with other people that are thinking like that, to get the mirror neurons firing, to get, to get ideas bouncing around, to see yourself in others, to be able to communicate. Because I know for myself that when I get things from, you know, in here, from the eyes back out here, it always looks different. Mm-hmm. And I can see things. And the art of coddywompling is, you know, immensely valuable.
Yeah.
You know, to have... what is it? A vague destination, but
purposeful manner, moving in a purposeful manner towards a vague destination.
Yeah. I think that's an enormous value inside creating anything that's next and, you know, mumbling through stuff. So,
and just a little bit too, like maybe not riding a bike, but I can see martial arts, like, you know, there is there's a continual practicing and elevation of like the next level of a thing to practice. And, and there's always something new to practice. You could be Bruce Lee, who's starting his own, you know, modality of martial arts. Like there's another place if you want to go there.
Right.
And you can coddywomple that your way there. It's not coddywompling. I think sometimes since we've used it so much now, you might just think like, it's just a constant mumbling in hopes of grasping for something, but in a container, with an intention and a direction, you're like, I'm going to move from a white belt to whatever the next belt is, to the next belt. I'm going to move my way in a purposeful manner through what's next to do. And I really like that idea that when you're surrounded by others in the dojo, when you're surrounded by others in the think tank, there's a scrimmaging. There's a what do you do? What do you call it when you in martial arts when you scrimmage? It's a
I don't know.
Fight. You fight. You spar. Maybe you spar. Whatever.
Oh, there you go.
There's a chance to work it out together, and I love that. Yeah. So anyway,
I think that all that's the purpose of the think tank, and then yeah. And then the power of the idea of lose your goddamn mind is sort of a entree into that. I think if
beautiful.
If you engage with losing your goddamn mind for 10 weeks, that it may occur for you like an opportunity down the road to continue that to, okay, now that I've gotten, I got my white belt, I've got an introduction to it. I've got enough mm-hmm. time where, and enough self-compassion and, gratitude and appreciation and all the other tenets of mindfulness. And I've played with them, and I've had an opportunity to see for myself in a way that mm-hmm. I can't get communicated to me in any way that makes a difference. Like, you can't communicate how to ride a bike or, you have mm-hmm. to discover the muscles to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That becomes the think tank becomes, okay, well, now I want to be with other people that mm-hmm. have this skill and see where we want to go. And I think that's a really good progression for that.
Love that. Let's rebrand this entree mindfulness. Entree mindfulness. It is an entree into the mix. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap. I think you said that really well. And I love this thought of losing your goddamn mind as an access point to, how to bring your
anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else. Beautiful. If you guys want to learn more about the think tank, go to the mindfulceo.com, the mindfulceo.com /invite takes you to the landing page where we actually have a video and some, an application for the think tank. So the mindfulceo.com/invite. Aaron, thanks for a great conversation. Love you.
Please.
Have a great week.